personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah, but my grandfather was a pastor, and my dad was a pastor, and my uncle's a pastor, and my brother's a pastor. But here's the important question. Do you love Jesus? Because no matter what they do, you stand on your own. Salvation is a personal thing. And I'm glad that your family is all living for Jesus, but if we choose not to love Jesus ourselves, we're not going to be saved. The question is not, do you love your pastor? It's not, do you love your church? It's not even, do you love your parents or your wife or your children? It's, do you love Jesus? Jesus could have asked Peter a lot of things. He could have said, Simon, son of John, have you made a profession of faith? And if he had done that, Peter would have said, of course I have. I've publicly professed that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that would have been great, because we need to do that. And it's certainly a necessary part of salvation, but it's not the same as saying, yes, Jesus, I love you. He could have said, Simon, son of John, do you hold an important office in the church? And Peter could have said, of course I do, Lord. Do you remember? You ordained me as an apostle. I'm an apostle. Of course I have an important role in the church. He could have said, have you ever had any extraordinary experience, supernatural experience? And Peter could have said, sure, don't you remember that time you were walking on the sea and you asked me to come out and I walked on water? That was pretty cool. But that's not what mattered. The supernatural experience didn't mean that he loved Jesus. Holding an important office didn't mean that he loved Jesus. All those other things were just things that happened. What really matters is, Simon, son of John, do you love me? I believe that Jesus didn't want to just hear the words, yes, I love you. And that's why he followed up with, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. In other words, Peter, if you really love me, then do what I have called you to do. It's easy to say, I love you. I think in our society today, we kind of throw that term around maybe a little bit too loosely sometimes. We say, I love ice cream. I love chocolate. That's not really what love is. But do you really love me? And I believe that he wanted to say, or what he was saying is, Peter, if you love me, you will do what I'm calling you to do. And I will tell you that he is still calling each of us today, that if we truly love the Lord, that we will do whatever he calls us to do. It might be working as an usher. It might be out here on a work day doing stuff around the outside of the building. It might be a Sunday school teacher, a greeter, someone who helps serve communion, a nursery worker, an altar worker, and the list goes on and on. Each of these things, and so many more things, are part of a ministry, and they're part of things that Jesus calls us to do today if we love him. If we truly love the Lord, we will gladly serve in the place or the places where he has called us to serve for the time that he calls us to serve. For Peter, it was to preach the gospel for the rest of his life. And that's what he did. For us, it might be different things for different seasons of our life. Sometimes those things change. In response to Peter's answer, yes, Lord, I love you, Jesus told him that he was going to become a great leader of the church. And there's people to go, what? This guy that denied that he even knew Jesus, he now made him a great leader in the church? That can't be. But Peter failed the Lord. How can he become a great leader in the church? I will tell you this. Yes, he denied knowing Jesus. We also know that he repented of that. And that's what matters. Just as he publicly denied Jesus, now, when given the opportunity, he proclaims his love. And that's what matters. Once you do that and you've asked for forgiveness and you've moved on and you say, yes, I love Jesus, all that other stuff in the past is just that. It's in the past. Leave it there. There may be times when we fail the Lord. But I will tell you, if that happens, we don't lay down and give up. We repent, we give up, we go get up, we go forward and do what we've been called to do. I would say that without a doubt, Jesus' commission to Peter was an affirmation that Peter had been forgiven. He wouldn't have said, I'm going to make you this great leader in the church if Peter wasn't forgiven. So that was the affirmation of, okay, Peter, I forgave you. Everything's, all that other stuff, it's good. Let's move on. And I will tell you that no matter what has happened in your life, you can be forgiven and restored. The devil loves to destroy someone who is working in the kingdom. If that's happened and you've fallen or something's happened in your life and you're doubting whether or not God loves you, stop doubting that. Get up, shake yourself off, repent, accept the forgiveness that only God can give you, and then move forward in the kingdom and do what He's called you to do. The devil also loves to tell people who have never come to the Lord, you can't come to the Lord. All that stuff in your life? No. If the devil speaks to you on those things, whether you've been living for the Lord for 40 years or whether you've never made a start, he will try to do something to stop you from living for the Lord or stop you from start living for the Lord. Let me give you an answer to that. John 8:44 says the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. So why would you listen to him? Move on. John 21:19, Jesus finished the conversation with a couple simple words. He simply said, follow me. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I command. Throughout his ministry, Jesus made the message clear to Peter and the rest of the disciples that above all else, what really mattered was to listen to what I command you and do what I command you and follow me. In spite of Peter's failings, in spite of his erratic, sometimes bizarre behavior, in spite of denying Jesus 3 times in public, Jesus forgave him. And he didn't just forgive him, he forgave him and placed a tremendous calling on his life. If you're wondering if God can use you, stop wondering. Here's the great example right here of someone that failed the Lord and yet went on to be, he was called, Jesus said, you'll be the rock. You're the foundation. He became a tremendous public speaker. He became a person whose calling would take him to give his life for the gospel. And that kind of forgiveness did not end with Peter. It's still available today through the grace that only comes from God. Certainly Peter's story is real, but it's a lot more than that. His story's personal. And you say, well, why is it personal? Because Peter represents us. He was just a normal guy. He was a tough fisherman, sometimes impetuous, sometimes loudmouthed, didn't think things through. And yet look what happened in his life. He represents us. If you look at Peter's life in just the short time that we know of his ministry and his following after Jesus, his life was a story that involved a calling. He was a fisherman. Jesus came along and said, hey, follow me. Put your nets down and follow me. Peter goes, okay. And he did. It's a story that included a person who was willing to take risks. As we said before, one night the disciples were out in a boat and they look off in the distance and they see somebody walking on the water and it gets closer and it's Jesus and Jesus says, come out here with me. And Peter's like, okay. And he steps out of the boat onto the water and starts walking towards Jesus. And he gets out there a little ways and he takes his eyes off Jesus and he begins to sink. And Jesus has to kind of pick him up. And because of that, we pick on Peter and go, took his eyes off Jesus. Well, at least he stepped out of the boat. The other guys didn't step out of the boat. I don't know about you. I'd had a little problem stepping out of the boat. I've never had much luck walking on water. So he was a guy that was willing to take risk. His story is a person with a mouth that sometimes said the wrong things. Somebody say amen. Amen. Before Jesus was crucified, he blabbed out the words, "I'll never forsake you no matter what anybody else does, Lord." And within a short time, he had denied him three times. Peter's story is about a person who sometimes did some kind of dumb things. When the soldiers came to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter pulls out a knife. It was kind of a longer knife, but it was still a knife. And there's soldiers out there to come get Jesus. Peter pulls out this knife, and keep in mind he's a fisherman, and he takes a swing at one of these guys and cuts his ear off. I don't think he was aiming for his ear. He just wasn't very good at it. And Jesus looks at him and goes, "Peter, come on." And he picks the guy's ear up and puts it back on his head. And I'm sure he gave Peter that look. Once again, he didn't think that one through. Peter's story is one that includes a person who sometimes seemed to have very little faith, or maybe someone who seemed riddled with ADD. And here's why I say that. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to Mary after she had left the empty tomb. He said, "Go back and tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee." And that's where they were at the beginning of this story that we read today. They were there where Jesus told them to go to wait on him. Went to Galilee to meet up with Jesus. But what happens? Peter gets bored. Or maybe he just has so little faith that he thinks Jesus isn't going to go show up. Either way, whatever happened, he goes, "I'm going fishing. Y'all coming with me?" And so they all go fishing. So here's a guy that he just has some issues. And all of these things are part of Peter's story. But here's another part of Peter's story. The second chapter of Acts, the book of Acts, tells us that this same guy stood up and preached his very first sermon. And he just let it fly. And he told them everything that had happened and who they had crucified. And as a result of that sermon, it says there was 3,000 people that were saved. Not a bad first sermon. Same guy. And that was just the beginning of a powerful ministry that lasted for the rest of his life. You say, "Well, why are all those things important?" Because Peter's story is our story. It's a story of grace. It's a story of love, renewal, forgiveness, and restoration. In spite of all Peter's mistakes and failings, Jesus still reached out to his wounded and hurt friend. Peter had some issues, but he loved Jesus. He truly loved Jesus. We have issues too, but let me ask you, do you truly love Jesus? We need to remember that at the point in the passage we read today, Peter had probably just gone through the worst 2 weeks of his life too. Everything had changed. The guy they had followed around for the last 3 years or so had been killed. All of a sudden, they weren't very popular. They'd gone into hiding. The person they'd put all their hopes in had gone. And had died. It had been a rough couple weeks. And during that time, Peter had really messed up big time. But now here he is, he's facing the very man that he offended. He's facing the very one that he denied. The one he rejected. And he wasn't able to go to Jesus. So Jesus came to him. And we're no different. Romans 3:23 says that we've all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Maybe we don't have the same issues as Peter, but I assure you that we all have issues. But just as Jesus went to Peter to heal him, to restore and renew him, to forgive him, he is here today to do the same thing. He's here to heal, to restore, to renew, and forgive. Once Peter was restored, Jesus kind of recommissioned him back to what he was supposed to do. He'd already been called. He just kind of messed up there in the middle of that calling. And now Jesus has recommissioned him to go out and do something and finalize that calling that was on his life. You see, it's not like some people would make you want to believe that if you're living for God and you slip or fall, that God just kind of kicks you to the curb and moves on. That's not the way it is. This story right here shows that that's not the way it is. Peter had messed up big time, and yet Jesus came to him, and they're sitting down, eating. He goes, Peter, do you love me? And he goes, yeah, Jesus, I love you. Are you sure? Yeah, Jesus. Are you absolutely sure? Yeah, Jesus, I love you. Okay. Now here's what we're going to do. And I will tell you, whoever is hearing this message today, whether you're here or at a later time hearing it online, maybe you've made a start. You've slipped and fallen in your walk. Be assured that Jesus wants to forgive you. He wants to restore you. He wants you to find your place and your calling in the kingdom. He's not through with you. Don't let the devil tell you that. That's the devil. And if you've never made a start to live for God, then I will assure you that He is calling you to repentance. Whatever you've done in your life, doesn't matter. Repentance covers all of that. The blood of Jesus Christ covers all sins. Doesn't matter how big or how small to the Lord, they're all the same. So wherever you've been in your life, whatever you've done, it doesn't matter. There's forgiveness. There is restoration. There is hope. And He is calling you to live for Him and to find your place in the work that He has called each of us to do. And for each one this morning, we've all fallen short of our calling from time to time. The question is this: how will we respond to the Spirit when it calls to us today? Do you love the Lord? You say, well, what is the Spirit calling us to today? It's a call of love. It's a call of grace. It's a call of healing, renewal. It's a call of repentance, a call of forgiveness. It's a call to restoration. No matter where you are in your walk with God, maybe you're just thinking about making a start, go ahead and make that step. You won't regret it. You say, well, I just don't really understand this whole loving Jesus thing. The first step of salvation is just to say, you know, I've heard this story about how Jesus died for me. And the first thing we have to do is just believe that it's true and that Jesus did die for our sins. And maybe you can't say, I'm just totally in love with Jesus because you just don't know Him very well yet. But the place to start is to believe that He died for our sins, that there was no other way. He died for our sins. And we start there. And then we come to a place of repentance. And that's where we just go to the Lord and we say, God, you know my life. You know what I've done. You know how I've lived my life. I can't fix it. But I'm going to ask you to forgive me. And he will forgive you today if you'll ask for forgiveness. Not only does he forgive you, he doesn't bring them back up. Once those things are gone, they're gone. It's not like some people that you patch up an argument and then 10 years later they bring up the old argument, what you did 10 years ago. God never does that. Once our sins are gone, they're gone. And then he has promised that he will fill us with his Spirit. He fills us with the Holy Spirit, and that is the Spirit of God that lives in us, that helps us to live an overcoming life. And it helps and leads us and guides us in the direction that we should go. So wherever you are today in your journey, maybe you're just completely on fire for God and you're just out doing amazing things. Keep going. Maybe you were and you've kind of fallen a little bit. Get up. Let him restore you. Maybe you've never made a start. Today's a good day. If you'd stand this morning. If everybody would just, if you just bow your head and close your eyes this morning. If there is anyone here this morning that wants to come and pray, these altars are open. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And if you feel something, maybe you go, I really don't know what it is that I feel. Maybe that's the Spirit of God kind of drawing you to Him. You don't have to understand it to respond. But if you want to come and pray and you want to know more about this, we'll be glad to pray with you and talk to you more about it. If you need prayer for anything this morning, these altars are open. Come and we'll pray with you. We still believe that God is a problem solver, that He's a healer. Is there anyone this morning that wants to come and pray? Is there anyone else? Jesus. If you're here today and you just don't really know what to do, and you say, Pastor, I'm not really sure if I'm ready for that, would you just pray for me? I'll be more than happy to pray for you. I'll pray with you that God will continue to speak to your heart. Is there anyone this morning who would say, Pastor, please pray for me? Just raise your hand and we'll pray. God bless you. 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 Let's just pray. Lord, today we know that your Spirit is in this place. You have promised that you would meet with us if we would gather in your name. And today we have done that. And we have felt your Spirit in this place today, Lord. And I know that you're speaking to hearts. Lord, to each one to whom you're speaking this morning, I ask that you would just continue to draw them closer to you, Lord. Whatever it is in their life that they're seeking for, just continue to show them that you are the answer. All problems can be solved through you. Lord, help us to know in our hearts that no matter where we are, that you love us. And that what you really want from us is for us to, with all of our heart to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, and to have a relationship with us. So that we hear your voice when you speak to us. Draw us closer, Lord. Draw us closer to you. All of these that have raised their hand this morning, Lord, I ask that you would just continue to draw them closer to you, Lord. Touch their lives. Let your Spirit draw them closer to you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit.